Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. We're here until 3 o'clock. The boys from the beat are coming on after that. And you hear the music. You know what it's time for? It's time for our Wonder Woman segment. And we're excited about our next guest, not because she's from the same suburbs as I, but she is the artistic director and co-founder of the First Folio Theater. Her name is Allison Vesely. How are you, Allison?
For having us on.
Good to have you on the show. We appreciate you taking the time to come in the blizzard of 2016 here.
Really? This was
the
unexpected.
Impromptu. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think it was supposed to just kind of lightly flurry. It's fluctuating. Doesn't it seem so? I mean, you guys were just outside. Does it seem like it's...
It was whiteout conditions on the way in from Clarendon Hills. It was quite spectacular.
We beat the... Luca and I beat the storm in, right, Luke? Yeah, he's my silent host, co-host today. So, Allison, why don't we tell the folks listening exactly who you are and how you got to where you are? Because Wonder Woman's all about appreciating you and your journey.
Well, thank you. My husband and I founded First Folio Theater 20 years ago now, actually a little over that. In 1996, we had the idea to start a classical theater in the western suburbs. There's great theater out there. You know, obviously we've got musical theater at Drury Lane Oakbrook, but there was nothing classical being done, and we are big Shakespeare fans. We wanted to share that with the western suburbs. We were tired of driving all over the place to act and direct, you know, downtown or Milwaukee or you name it. We've been all over.
Were you getting asked a lot to produce?
Yes, and we had done some production side with the theater companies we were working for. I was working for Footsteps Theater Company, a women's theater in downtown Chicago, Northside, and wearing a lot of different hats for them. So we felt like we had developed the skill set for it and decided to bite the bullet and do the, you know, create this company.
So did you guys finance it all and the whole business startup of it?
Exactly.
As creative types, you know, sometimes it's difficult to venture into the full-blown business.
Exactly.
It's a business for you at this point.
Right, exactly. We knew that we needed to get other people on board, so we had a community meeting, and out of that meeting developed our first board members, our board of directors, and also our volunteer corps. And many of those folks helped us actually get the infrastructure started. The biggest thing we learned in this journey was actually putting the vision out there, because once you tell people about something you're excited about, they get excited about it too, and they're more willing to help you. So we got, you know, designers to like cut their fees in half and help us create a stage and a lighting system and a sound system. We had Commonwealth Edison actually help us put in the electrical lines that we needed to get the power to the stage, because there was no power out where we were.
They actually were nice and helped
you guys. They were nice and helped us.
That's rare.
We found a guy who was really excited about what we were doing, and he cut us a really good deal and, you know, set up a loan for all of that. So they were very good to us. We just would bring people out to this beautiful forest preserve in Oak Brook, Mays Lake Peabody Estate. They'd see what we had planned, and they'd sign on to the project because they were excited about it.
So one aspect is the production and direction of these events. The other is promoting and marketing of these things.
Right.
Which always seems to be like the scary part. It's like you invest all its time and energy into creating the beautiful sets and training the actors, and you're there and you practice and it's opening night. Is there ever worries that like people aren't going to be there? Or
yes.
Yeah, I would imagine.
We were very lucky in that right from the beginning, we had some wonderful actors who chose to work with us. You know, we've had David Darlow, Paula Scrofano, John Rieger, both of the Muellers, Roger and his wife, Jill Schollebarger, all be on our stages.
Wow.
And so because we started out with such legitimate and wonderful actors, we did get attention right from the beginning. The Tribune came out our very first year and reviewed us, which was a very, very lucky thing, we know.
Sure.
So
it sounds like it was a good review.
It was a good review.
Thankfully, or could have went the other way, right?
It could have all ended right there. And now we've got a wonderful PR firm, Heron PR, doing our publicity for us.
So we know them well. Good
people.
We've
grown exponentially in the last few years working with them.
That's great.
But it's still a little bit of a struggle because we are in a forest preserve. We don't have a building on the street. People still are discovering us a little bit by accident sometimes. So we'd like to say we're Oak Brook's hidden gem.
I remember when I lived in Los Angeles in the foothills, there was like a little walking path, and you would kind of venture off, and you would, I don't know if you're familiar with what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you'd step into this theater in the middle of the mountains. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And on occasion, you will hear Shakespeare being, you know, played out on these theaters that were built into rocks, and it was just the most magical, amazing thing. And when you talk about the forest preserves, I can almost imagine the similar feeling.
Exactly.
That's where it almost should be.
Exactly. It was originally performed outdoors. It's meant to be that way. And we are blessed with a beautiful site. It's a little like Ravinia, people say, in that people bring picnic suppers and enjoy the grounds before
the show. Attendants can you hold? What's the attendance?
You know, it's unlimited, supposedly, but, you know, we've had 300-400 people out there, and people can still see and hear because we've got an excellent sound system. We have a raised stage, so it's quite accessible and lovely.
And you have full-blown lighting and the sound.
Yes, exactly.
So you're getting the big production value.
Yeah, exactly. It's a permanently built stage, although it's on temporary structuring. We have, you know, sets that we do on top of the stage, and it's really fun. It's a beautiful venue. But it's not the only thing we do, because we are year-round. There's a historic mansion on the property called the Peabody Mansion. Mm. And so the rest of the year, we use a space in there to do other classical-style shows.
Interesting. We're talking to Allison Vaselli. She's the artistic director and co-founder of First Folio Theater. We're going to learn more about what productions are going on throughout the year. And some of your keynote pieces that we want to let people know about. We'll give you the website and all that stuff and how to get tickets as soon as we get back.
Testing, uno, dos, tres, catorce.
He's the go-to guru for great design ideas.
Not that there's anything wrong with us.
He's edgy. He's in your face.
The lead designer and host of HGTV's Design on a Dime.
The Frank Fontana Show. It's not just home improvement, it's life improvement.
That's right. It's part of improving the overall well-being of you and introducing you to new culture and art. And that's why we're bringing this week's Wonder Woman feature. Allison C. Vaselli is joining us. And she's the artistic director and co-founder of First Folio Theater, with a deep and rich history in Chicago's culture. Starting off with being one of the did you create the all-female Shakespearean act?
I was a member of Footsteps Theater Company, which was a women's theater company based in on the north side here in Chicago. And we did all-female Shakespeare. It was a special project. You know, they did other shows, but every year we'd have an all-female Shakespeare production.
How was that reviewed?
Great, actually. You know, I think the key was that the way we approached it was we were just actors playing characters. We didn't try to imitate men or, you know, swagger about and not be something we weren't.
But it's a pretty testosterone-driven production, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it is. But you can always tap into that part of yourself.
Sure,
everybody
of course.
Everybody has both sides, you know, to their character.
This is true.
And it was great fun to be able to swing broadswords around. And, you know, how often does a woman get to do that?
So, sure. And you actually won an award for it, right?
I did. The After Dark Award. After Dark used to give out these awards. And I was honored.
Good for you.
I was honored for that production. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
So groundbreaking, nonetheless.
Yes.
You brought that with you into your new production.
Yes.
And you guys are currently, one of your biggest hits to date is this The Madness of Edgar Allan Poe, a love story.
Right.
Tell me about it.
This is the show we just finished in the fall. It's a production that my husband wrote and about 10 years ago. And we've done it every other to every 3 years for the past decade. It is so popular when we do it. The amazing thing about the show is that it moves from room to room in the historic Peabody Mansion.
I love that idea.
It's a really cool thing because the mansion itself kind of becomes a character.
I've never
been
out there, and it's kind of in my neck of the woods. I should definitely check it out.
You should definitely come out, take a tour. It's a historic mansion owned by the Francis Stuyvesant Peabody family of Peabody Coal. He passed away shortly after the mansion was completed, actually. So they didn't live there for very long, and the property was purchased by the Franciscan brothers, and they were there for 60 years.
And some say it's haunted.
It certainly
I just made that up, but is
no,
it?
No, it definitely has.
Really? What kind of yes. spirits are roaming the halls?
You hear things now and again, strange noises.
So you've been in there.
Oh,
and
yes.
Really?
Yes.
Is it spooky, or are they good spirits?
It's fun. They're friendly.
They're friendly they're spirits. They like what you're doing
yes,
there.
Yes, exactly.
That's
good. I think they like that the mansion's being used so well. I mean,
how true is it to the original design? Have you guys changed anything? Or
The Forest Preserve District owns the property. They are in the process of restoring it. So piece by piece, room by room, as they get the money to do it, portions have been restored. It's
turning. Is portions of it dilapidated, or is it?
Not dilapidated. It did go through a period of history where it was a bit neglected, so there's peeling paint and, you know, things like that. And they want to restore it back to the way it was when the Peabodys lived there to make it an actual historic museum. So they have to undo some of the things that the Franciscans did to make it usable and livable for them.
Right. And will that affect, because I think the peeling walls and all that go perfect with the Edgar Allan Poe
yes.
piece. Will that affect your performance
at all?
I
don't think so. You know, the rooms that we use are pretty intact, but it's a lot of fun. We do the Pit and the Pendulum, which is a piece that's done almost, well, it's got sections.
Yeah, don't give too much away.
Completely in the dark, which is fun. It's a lot of sound.
So how many people can fit going room to room?
Only 80. And actually, because the upstairs rooms are small, the audience is split into two parts. Half go upstairs for two scenes, half stay downstairs, and then they switch places. And so
does the story work together at the same time?
It all works together, right.
So will the upstairs actors be performing the first act, and then they'll switch and...
They do it twice in a row.
They do it twice in a row.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's really fun.
It's fascinating.
So that'll be back in 3 years. We've committed to doing it every 3 years. And
so what happens in between the 3 years?
Well, we have the rest of our season.
Tell us about
it. Winter, we always do something lighthearted and fun. Right now, we have Running Jeeves at Sea, which is, you know, Bertie Wooster and Jeeves, just like on the BBC, the fun Woodhouse stories. This one is set on a yacht in Monte Carlo, and Bertie gets into his usual troubles and scraps and, you know, love interests, and Jeeves has to get him out of it.
And who plays Bertie?
Bertie is played by Christian Grey, one of our company members. He's a wonderful actor.
Not the 50 Shades of Grey Christian
Grey. Not that Christian Grey, no.
Let's not confuse this, folks.
Let's not confuse this.
Although I'm sure he loved that gig.
He's a lovely person.
Yeah.
And has a little bit of Bertie in him, too. So
that's funny.
A little featherheaded time at times.
So tell us about the summer production.
Summer production is A Midsummer Night's Dream coming up this summer. So that's
a fan favorite.
A fan favorite, exactly, exactly. Going to be directed by our lovely daughter, Haley Rice.
Haley, look, she's like, shut up, Mom. Don't promote me.
No, she's.
But
she's,
go to my website.
She is a company member with us now. She grew up, you know, knowing about Shakespeare, learning about Shakespeare, doing folio class with us all the time.
Yeah.
And
how is that to see your daughter kind of blossom into?
It's wonderful. She co-directed last summer's show, A Winter's Tale, with me. And it was seamless. We worked so well together. So
no mother-daughter tension going on?
It was just really, I mean, she thinks in the same kind of pictures that I do.
Sure.
And
is it weird that she's sitting here watching us talk about
weird,
her?
Yeah.
Because we can't really say anything wrong.
I'm going to just ignore her.
She will throw something at you. She has something held high in her hand. No, I'm sorry. Yes, she's not. That's so nice. I mean, because here you could have my son Luca with me and stuff. And one day I hope that he kind of slips into this chair and puts the headphones on and does his thing. And,
yeah, I mean, if they're going to be drawn in, you know, to that kind of creativity, then yeah, you want to see them follow in your footsteps and help support the dream that you had.
How important overall is the lack of culture that we're seeing because of technology and because of all the modernization of our world? Don't you feel, because I do, on some level, that culture itself is slipping?
I don't know. I am hopeful, actually.
What I mean culture is more like what you do.
What we do, exactly.
Right.
But I do see, you know, young people going to the theater. I see families bringing their children out to see Shakespeare.
Yeah.
We used to do a lot of educational touring where we brought Shakespeare into the schools. And kids would get so excited.
Are you still doing a lot of that?
We haven't been lately because of all the budget cuts, especially for the state of Illinois. A lot of our school touring was supported by the Illinois Arts Council, arts tour.
So unfortunate.
Budget. And it really has affected us. It has affected the schools.
Well, it kind of backs up what I'm saying is, regardless if it's a conscious choice, it's becoming a non-option.
Right, exactly. So that's been a little sad in that, we're all kind of stuck. But I am hopeful because I do see parents, supporting bringing their kids to culture.
Which is where it starts.
Yeah,
exactly. If you want to introduce your kids to culture and to theater and to art, you have to take the initiative and do it. Because no longer will society support it.
We started taking Haley to Chicago Shakespeare Theater when she was six.
A little debate on the age here. But.
And she loved it. You know, we never worried about, is she going to be able to understand what's being said? You just let them experience it.
I can tell you firsthand. My son's 4.5, and we took him to Lion King. We took him to big productions. I mean, obviously a little more, stage and costume and lighting and stuff. But he digs it. He totally is into it. We'll sit through a whole production, won't cry or whine.
Yeah.
As you can see, he's doing pretty good. He's been sitting on a radio show for two hours, right, son? You're doing good? Get a little tired. He's getting there. But, I love what you guys do. I think it's a fantastic thing. We need more of you out there. You're a true Wonder Woman. How could people find out more information about the First Folio?
Well, we have a website. So that's www.firstfolio.org.
And you mentioned maybe giving away some tickets for a pair of tickets?
Yeah, absolutely. If you'd like to do that, we could give away 2 tickets to our summer production of A Midsummer Night's Dream. You can come out with a picnic supper. We'll throw in a couple lawn chairs even.
And what we'll do is we'll take the 7th caller in the next half hour, right after news. Sean will handle that, and we'll get tickets for you and give you some new faces to come out and see your productions.
Excellent. That would be wonderful.
Allison, thank you so much. You're a true inspiration. We appreciate it.
It was great talking to you, Frank.
All right. Have a good Sunday.
Thanks.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll have some news, and we'll continue the show after that.
The show that puts the improv in Home Improvement. It's Frank Fontana on 720 WGN.
Hey, folks, happy Valentine's Day for those who are celebrating. For those who are not, happy Sunday and enjoy this phenomenally warm, sunny weather we're having. Unusually beautiful for this time of the year. I kid. It's horrible outside. Might be, though, hopefully, I'm hoping one of the last snowstorms of the year. Right, Veronica?
It would be nice.
It would be nice.
But, we got such a break that could be due.
I know. The shoe dropping is happening.
Yeah.
But it's going to be warmer later in the week.
Yes. 40 by, I think it's Thursday.
I saw a 50 somewhere in there,
yes,
too.
Yes, that's going to be so
nice. I love that.
You know, they're having a heat wave in California right now.
God bless them. I know my mom called. It's like 75 in Florida.
Yeah.
I hate them. Anyway.